From Entrepreneur Media, this is Problem Solvers, a show in which entrepreneurs do what entrepreneurs do best, solve unexpected problems in their business.
We were completely wrong.
And I'm just like, it's not selling.
It was like, we have to start from scratch.
I'm Jason Pfeiffer, the editor-in-chief of Entrepreneur Magazine. Matt Hewitt is the kind of guy you call when your company is in trouble. Like, if revenue is down, if your strategy is falling apart, if something just needs to be shaken up, you call Matt.
I've never been that crazy entrepreneurial founder day one. I've never done that. I probably don't have the guts to do it, to be honest. I'm always brought in, usually, if there's some growth that needs to happen or some change needs to happen.
And that's why, a few years ago, the company Rosetta Stone gave Matt a call. You know Rosetta Stone, right? Of course you do. By Rosetta Stone's own research, 90% of Americans recognize the company's name, which is amazing brand awareness. But in case you're in the 10% of that, no, Rosetta Stone is a company that teaches people how to speak foreign languages. It became famous for its yellow boxes containing compact discs. Remember those? And for years, those yellow boxes were a great business. But then times changed, and people stopped using CDs, and people stopped even owning CD players. And Rosetta Stone, well, it kept on making those CDs.
They were very slow to move from CD perpetual products to digital. And it's almost preposterous to think about it in the year 2019. But the company did take longer than it should have to move to that environment. The company built one of the most iconic brands, if not the most iconic brands in language learning, spent over $1 billion in Rosetta Stone and is well known. However, moving from that world to the new world where you have to earn your customers every month as a perpetual subscription, completely new tool set, completely new muscle. And so that's the problem.
Rosetta Stone became the kind of company that just couldn't change. It just couldn't leave what used to work yesterday and figure out what'll work today and tomorrow. And that's what Matt came in to fix. He is now president of Rosetta Stone, and he has a big project ahead of him. Matt's only been at it for a year and a half, and he'd be the first to say that the problem at Rosetta Stone isn't solved entirely yet. So today on Problem Solvers, I instead want to share with you some high-level wisdom from Matt. Because like I said, he's the guy who's hired to bring change to a company. So what's that like? How do you be a change agent? And what can we all learn from the guy who does it for a living? We will get answers to all of that right after the break. Data. We talk about it on this show all the time. It can be the greatest tool that a business has, and that's why the most successful organizations and professionals are data-driven. But there's a problem here. As the volume of data that businesses have access to increases, they need to find more efficient ways to turn that data into actionable insight. And you know who solves that problem? iDashboards. iDashboards offers a comprehensive business intelligence solution to help you with data aggregation, preparation, analysis, visualization, and reporting. With the iDashboards Data Hub, you can blend data from multiple sources to get a comprehensive view of related data. Then, its intuitive dashboard builder gives anyone the freedom to create and design dashboards with no programming experience required. It's no wonder companies like Lockheed Martin, Michigan Humane Society, and Navy Federal Credit Union trust iDashboards to provide them with the data they need to make the best, most informed decisions for their business. So, check it out. To learn more, visit idashboards.com/problem. That's idashboards.com/problem. All right, we're back. So first of all, how did Matt become the guy who's brought in to make change? The answer is, it was not his master plan.
I don't know how this became a core capability of mine, but it probably started earlier in my career when I was a co-partner of a startup that was in the entertainment space, pre-YouTube, not to date myself. And we had to make some massive changes. I was right around the Web 1.0. That was when valuations were crazy, venture capital was flush, but the business models weren't that great. And so there was a huge implosion in the market. And what that taught me was how to be smart about capital, how to be smart about strategy, and how to survive. And what are the things that you need to do, not only to grow, but also the smart things you do to survive and pivot.
He'd go on to have many roles after that, which helped him refine a system of exactly how to survive and pivot. And then he became the executive who's called in to really execute. And when he got the call from Rosetta Stone, he was excited. It's a big brand, people know it well, and it's a public company. There's a lot of interesting stuff here. And to be clear, Rosetta Stone is actually split into two divisions, each of which operate under the company's CEO and chairman of the board. So there's something called Lexia Learning, which teaches literacy to school children, and that has its own president. And then there's the consumer-facing language teaching, the thing that most people know Rosetta Stone for, and that's what Matt is now the president of. So I talked to Matt for a while about his approach to creating change at a company, and I want to break it down for you now in three ways. These are the three things we're going to talk about this episode. Number one, heart and math. That's Matt's phrase, heart and math. Number two, we're going to talk about proving out the insight. And then number three, we're going to talk about people. Okay, so let's start at the top, heart and math. So Matt says that when he walks into a company in distress, he's often seeing problems that are compounding each other. There may not be a clear strategy in place, for example. It's not clear how or why the company is allocating capital, or communication internally and externally may not be consistent, and he needs to untangle all of this.
What I always like to do is look at these things with both heart and math. And math is, I just look at basically a view of what's the addressable market that we're going after, how do we optimize for our position in that market, and then decide. And the heart is really, how do you take what's best of the people, especially for knowledge-based companies, tech companies, and how do you inspire people to do their very best? Because if they want to do their very best, then your customers get treated the best, and then profits follow. And that's a long-winded answer to say most companies that need change and realize it are in an ability to move, but you have to look at things both heart and math. If you look at things as just math, then you're kind of like a turnaround expert and people are kind of punching the clock. And if you don't really understand the values and the culture of the business and try to inspire people, you don't really build, I think, phenomenal products and phenomenal outcomes.
I love this philosophy because it really does marry the two things that a business is about. It's data-driven, right? You can't make a product in a vacuum. You need to know what you're doing, why you're doing it, and who's buying it. It's math. But if you don't focus on the heart, on the talents and drive of the people inside the company, then you're not going to inspire them to make the math work. Simple as that. And when Matt came into Rosetta Stone and started looking at the math, something jumped out at him right away. Rosetta Stone is known for its consumer-facing language education. However, if you looked at the way that the company was actually spending its resources, it wasn't focused on winning over consumers. It was actually focused on enterprise products, trying to sell language education to big corporate clients. And Matt looked at all that and thought, no, that's missing the whole point.
The global language learning market for consumers is the biggest addressable market, hands down. People want to learn language that are just people versus corporations or K-12 schools. That's the biggest market.
So that's the math, right? Time to change how the company is structured so that you take advantage of the greatest opportunity.
And in order to do that, you definitely need to understand how to acquire customers efficiently, how to build funnels that work, build product experiences that are very unique for things like mobile, and put some R&D investment in the products. And so that wasn't happening. Basically, think about it as I walk into the business and our mobile products don't even have the ability to charge people differently. So there was no subscription offering for 3, 6, 9, and 12 months. There was one price to download the product for $199 in the Apple App Store.
Which, of course, isn't going to cut it with today's consumers. So now, we started with heart and math, but mostly focused on math here. We'll get back to heart in a minute, but right now, I want to move on to number two on Matt's turnaround philosophy, which is proving out the insight. Matt told me that he dug into the business and then came to the board with a proposal on how to become a truly consumer-focused brand. And so I asked Matt, what exactly did you first come to the board with? Did you come with just an insight, like a hypothesis on what to do here, or did you come with a full turnaround plan for them to approve?
It's a great question. So I usually start with a null hypothesis. Let's call it the insight. So I have this truth that I believe, and this truth usually, what I'm looking for with this truth isn't like some Elon Musk moonshot, although I really, really respect him. It's really an insight based on, is there something in the business that gets me some kind of differential outcome? Is there something unique? Is there a secret in this business that we do better than anybody else? If I don't find that, that's a bigger issue. And then with Rosetta Stone, I did find that, and that was the brand. And the brand has a tremendous amount of positivity. insight. People love the Rosetta Stone brand. They love the feeling it gives you. And that's extremely difficult. And so extremely difficult to replicate. So coming in, I had an insight. And what I told the board was, here's an insight that I have. I need some time to validate that insight in terms of a quantitative assessment of the strategy. And what that realistically looks like is, in real simple terms, you try to find a scenario where your growth as a business that can be faster than the addressable market. Because if market share growth and revenue growth are faster than the core market growth, you're going to actually have better profits and better margins than your competitors. And that's what you inevitably try to get to, is what's special about the company, and what's special about that company, do I have an edge against how everyone else is growing? And if you do, invest and focus on it.
It's a question worth asking yourself right now. What's your edge? What do you have that everyone else doesn't? It sounds simple, but it's easy to lose track of. I mean, just look at Rosetta Stone. If that company couldn't keep its edge in mind, you could forget yours too.
One of my favorite stories is Alan Mulally, who walked into Ford, looked at all the different Ford products and said, "Where's the Taurus?" And then somebody in the company said, "Well, the Taurus is a dead product." And he said, "Well, that used to be the best-selling car in America. Bring back the Taurus." Taurus became a huge product for Ford. And it's not unsimilar to Rosetta Stone. It's, why aren't we focused on consumers? Consumers love this product.
So once Matt had the insight, it was time to prove it out. And that meant focusing on the product. Matt had his team go back to basics on the product and start asking themselves really basic questions about what people want.
So it started with, okay, how do they want to buy? Well, they want to buy differently on mobile than on web. Okay. They want short-term subscriptions. They want long-term subscriptions. Okay. What unique experiences do I want on a phone versus the web? Well, a lot of customers were interested in personalization. So we built some augmented reality capabilities that enable them to take pictures of objects around them and then use our machine learning technology and our voice. So you could actually kind of create your own Pokemon Go for learning. So you can capture pictures, it becomes part of a conversation, and it becomes very personal as part of your mobile experience. And so again, it all starts with, what's the customer pain and gain? You know, what does that customer really want? And then try to solve for it.
And this brings us to number three on our list of turnaround insights, and that is people. This is where we pick up on that hearts in the hearts and math equation from earlier. So, okay, let's talk about Matt as a person, and then we'll talk about everyone else. When someone like Matt shows up on a job, their instinct may be to bring along their people. You know, like Matt's team of trusted advisors and executives and the people that he can surround himself with. But Matt doesn't do that when he shows up. He wants to test a place out himself to make sure the water is fine. And so that means he's often at a job for 5 or 6 months before bringing anyone else along that he's worked with before. And that can be an isolating experience.
You just have to have the conviction that you're doing the right thing, and it becomes lonely, but it's also quite exciting. And I do think the best leaders have conviction of the long-term game they're trying to play, and they're out in front at working as hard as the troops are, but it can be very lonely.
Because of course, everyone else is thinking the same. Is this guy going to fire us all? It's a reasonable assumption. Many new leaders do, just they come in and they clean house. But that's not Matt's approach. The way he sees it, a company may be in trouble, but its people might actually have many of the answers. They just may not be empowered to create solutions. They might not have been directed to activate their strengths. And it's worth figuring all that out before making any big changes. For example, Matt talks about Rosetta Stone's engineering team. That's a team that really understands language learning. And yeah, they hadn't built an amazing consumer-facing experience already, but they hadn't been instructed to. And once Matt sent them off on that path, they started doing amazing things. That Pokemon Go of language thing that he mentioned earlier, one of Rosetta Stone's engineers came up with that. And the guy has been there for years.
So just because you're new to a company and you've realized, well, we're going to pivot from this to that or focus on this strategy, whatever it is, doesn't mean the existing team needs to be discarded. In fact, many times they just need to be focused.
You want to win over hearts? You identify talented people and bring them into your mission. You say, hey, I need you to help me. Let's create a winning company together.
I always tell people, my employees, and they're really team members, my gosh, we work for the most recognizable, iconic brand in the world. We are well-funded, and we actually make a difference in people's lives. I wouldn't trade that for anything else. And I always, you know, some people have said, well, I have these open office hours where I talk to employees live, and I joke and someone asked me a question like, well, certainly this is hard. I'm like, no. What's really hard is I've been in a startup. I'm about 3 months away from running out of money. I have to raise money because people's individual payrolls and lives depend on me. And I also know the product isn't working. That's hard. Rosetta Stone, world-class brand, changing people's lives, really smart people, supportive board. That's good. Is it going to be hard for 6 to 12 months? Yes. Trust me, that's not hard.
So that's how you create change in a company. First, focus on hearts and math. Second, prove out the insight. And third, direct people to success. Though, you know, hey, seeing as we're talking about a language learning company here, I feel like English is not the only language that we should hear these three lessons in. So, take it away.
Y así es como se crea el cambio en una empresa. Primero, concéntrate en los corazones y las matemáticas. Segundo, demuestra tu visión. Y tercero, dirige a las personas hacia el éxito.
Thanks to Stephanie Adrobo for that. She runs a marketing company called ContraSense in Mexico. On Instagram, just asked her to record that for us. Anyway, yeah, I'd say those three steps sound good in any language, wouldn't you? The need for change, after all, it is universal.
And that's our episode. If you like what you heard, please subscribe to Problem Solvers wherever you get your podcasts. We come out with a new episode every Monday morning, and you don't want to miss it. And hey, be kind. Pass the show along to an entrepreneur friend who could use a boost. And did you solve a problem that would be good for this show? Let me know about it. Visit my website, jasonfeifer.com, JasonFeifer.com, where you can find my contact information and all sorts of other valuable info. Problem Solvers is a production of Entrepreneur Media. Be sure to visit entrepreneur.com for all your entrepreneurship needs. And even better, subscribe to our magazine, which is just full of the smartest entrepreneurs solving the toughest problems. My name is Jason Feifer, the editor-in-chief of Entrepreneur Magazine. Thanks for listening. And hey, let's go solve some problems.